Hello, this is David Rovix with episode 55 of This Week with David Rovix, which is available on all the usual podcasting platforms, as well as at davidrovix.com and on the David Rovix mobile app. The past few weeks have seen so many developments in the world, such as absolutely massive, ongoing, and very militant protests happening in a multitude of countries, not just in capital cities, but throughout countries like Ecuador, Chile, Lebanon, Iraq, Algeria, Sudan, in places like Catalonia, and of course, Hong Kong. The kinds of protests that completely derail business as usual, that cause governments to try to enact reforms that will appease the masses, before the police and army abandon their posts and the heads of state begin to roll. These movements represent a cross-section of the many societies participating in them, by all accounts. Grounds for grievances are many, and not always entirely the same, but the common threads are there, of societies fed up with empty promises made by politicians, fed up with the ongoing race to the bottom that most of the world seems to be engaging in, while the global super-rich get ever richer. Much of the world is burning or flooding alternately. Many people in many places are motivated to take action to make the rulers enact the sorts of policies that would allow our species to survive. Here in London, England, where I am now, thousands of people have been committing acts of civil disobedience in recent weeks. The school strikes are also spreading. I don't know if any of these movements are ready to think about the next big step beyond protesting, that of taking the reins of the state in some form. But at any time that point is reached, that's when the situation gets ultra-high stakes, and on all sides of the equation, people are ready to go for broke. Governments, under this sort of revolutionary duress, tend to resort to extraordinary measures to maintain their hold on power. One of the most popular moves is starting a war with another country, or with an internal or external jihadi network, left-wing political ideology, or whatever they can think of to deflect attention. One of the biggest problems dividing the workers of the world in such situations is nationalism, and the ability of national governments to foment it, and make the working class of one nation kill the working class of another, a phenomenon which often happens instead of, rather than in addition to, taking on the ruling class of one's own country. Ruminating on all of this, I find myself reflecting on how some of the methods of the plowshares movement might be applied on a broader scale by the social movements of our times. There are certain key players, most notably the United States, where such a movement would need to be taking place in addition to everywhere else. But my recurring thoughts, my dream, really, goes like this. What if, instead of just the occasional symbolic action, trespassing onto a military base, locating the nearest helicopter, gunship, or fighter jet, and swinging a sledgehammer at sensitive, expensive parts like the nose cone, then waiting to get caught, arrested, and imprisoned by the relevant authorities, perhaps later being found guilty and imprisoned for a much longer time, or, in certain instances, in England, Ireland, and New Zealand, being found not guilty? What if, instead, 100,000 people around the world, distributed in all the right military bases and other locations, armed with sledgehammers, swung those sledgehammers at fighter jets, helicopter gunships, and missile silos at the same time? There are only a few tens of thousands of military aircraft in operation globally at any one time, around half of them from the U.S. One or two people with sledgehammers for each combat aircraft is all that would be needed to do the trick. Moving from the symbolic to the practical, with very easily accessible tools.
Come on, fire!
Hey, Roger.
I watched it on the TV. Machine guns fired towards the ground. I watched the people run. Helicopter gunship strafing the street. I watched them lining up the bodies in the Baghdad heat. They say these leaks had consequences, And I must agree, when I saw them fire on the children, it affected me. I thought, what if I were wearing the other shoe? If I had a hammer, what would I do? I am just a person, like anyone. I am just another mother's son. I have no special powers. I cannot fly, not like that helicopter gunship up in the sky, sending all those bullets all around to the journalists and children on the ground. I am just one man, that's very true. But if I had a hammer, what would I do? Sometimes I try to wonder, why should I care? But then the answer seems so obvious, there are people down there. And right here in Queensland, there's an army base, and there's a helicopter gunship just sitting in place. There's a time for watching, there's a time to act. It's just gonna kill more children if it remains intact. I am just one person, but you are two. And if you had a hammer, what would you do? If you had a hammer, what would you do? This has been episode 55 of This Week with David Rovics. If you're able to support my podcasting and other efforts, you are very much encouraged to do so by going to davidrovics.com/subscribe or davidrovics.com/thisweek. And you can also subscribe to my other podcast about this date in history by searching for Song for Today on any podcasting platform. If you know anyone in England or Scotland, I'm on tour on this island for another week before I head home to Oregon. Coming soon, a video from Belmarsh Prison and a new album. This is David Rovics, fellow workers, signing off for now.